Chris speaking to us this morning. Oh yes, Chris. We're looking forward to it. So Chris is going to speak on God. So shall we as a church just pray for Chris as he brings this word to us. Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for his faithful service over so many years. We thank you that he's with us in Farnham Vineyard, mentoring and guiding with his wisdom. And Lord, would you speak through him this morning to us? Would we have open ears and open hearts to hear what you have for each one of us specifically? Give him wisdom, discernment, and your knowledge, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. Thank you. Great. Anyone know what a megaparsec is? I knew he wouldn't know. No, he probably would, actually, because he's so very, very wise. Actually, I'm going to turn that off for a moment. I hope you didn't see that. Here's an easier question, which if your memory lasts for about 10 seconds, you'll know the answer to. Do you know what the speed of light is? Very fast. Yeah, Dickens is very fast. Very right. Very fast. It's 186,282 miles per second. So let's say 186 miles a second. So from 1 second from when that slide went on, it would have traveled 186 miles. Equivalent of... Sorry? Sorry? Yeah, what did I say? 186,000 miles. Yes, well done. There'll be a few of those. So, 186,000 miles. So, 186,000 miles per second equals 6 trillion miles per year. That's 6,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, with light years is that they're so small that it's like measuring the circumference of the world with a 1 millimeter ruler. It's just too small, because it's been discovered that the cosmos is so much bigger that we need a bigger method of management than simply a light year. So what, can you see that, by the way? You can't see it. Well, nor can I. So what they be quiet. So the standard method of measurement now is a megaparsec. And a megaparsec is 3 1/3 million light years. So that is 3 1/3 million times 6 trillion miles. And that is how telescopes at the moment measure distances in space, because they are so huge. And what did I say there? Oh yes, the furthest view that the Hubble spacecraft has so far been able to photograph is 4,000 megaparsecs away. And here's a picture of it. That's a picture of the cosmos 4,000 times 3.5 million times 6 trillion miles away. And each one of those little lights that you see are galaxies in their own right. They're not stars, they're galaxies in their own right, which are billions of light years across, and each of them contain around 10 million stars, and each of those stars is hundreds of light years apart from each other. Here is one last figure. You know the Voyager spacecraft? That travels at 1 million miles per day. To reach our nearest star in our little tiny galaxy, it will take it 69,000 years to get there. We have a big God. We have a massive, we've been singing about it, haven't we? We've been singing about it, we have a big, a massive God. Does anybody besides me believe that the Big Bang could be the answer to how the Earth started? It's not unspiritual to believe in the Big Bang. St. Paul summed it up brilliantly when he said, he brings that which is out of that which is not. So Paul knew all about, he didn't know about megaparsecs, but he knew that God is a spiritual God, that he has to work in the physical, and we are speaking about a physical universe and we're physically here. So for God to be known, he has to work in the physical. So somehow creation had to start in the physical. He brings that which is out of that which is not. And what is so wonderful is that ever since the time, in fact, only in March 2014, a massive observatory in the South Pole, manned by many different nations, they, for the first time, discovered a particular form of light that pretty well underlines the reality of the Big Bang. He brings that which is out of that which is not. I don't know if the Big Bang is right or not, but it seems to me a pretty godly sort of way of doing it. Because he brings into the physical that which is not yet, and we see it. And it's only relatively recently that it's been discovered that the cosmos isn't just static, it is expanding and has been expanding since the day of, if you like, the Big Bang. And it's been expanding, it's recently been discovered, at an ever-increasing rate. All the way around, expanding. Astrophysicists and scientists don't know why that happens. They don't know what the power is that causes this massive expansion. They say literally it's a mystery, and they have a name for it, dark energy. It's dark energy. Of course, we know it's light energy. But that's as far as they've got. We have a big God. We have a massive, huge, magnanimous God. And can you imagine the angels in heaven? You know, when God is throwing another great galaxy, pink and blue, like they're throwing another galaxy into orbit. And there the angels stand and say, oh, that's great, Lord, do another one. And he goes, pow, like that. Do another one, pow, let's do on that side, pow. And he's expanding it second by second by second. His creation is expanding and has never stopped. Praise our mighty, mighty God. And yet, he cannot take his eyes off you. Forgive me if I say you, I want to make this personal. Actually, when I say you, it includes even me. He cannot take his eyes off you. Never has, never will. Why? Because his heart is specially for you, and you, and you, and you. Because his heart is specially for you. Have you ever, who's heard of dear Mother Julian of Norwich? She was a nun who lived at the end of the 14th century, and she was a really holy person. and she went through a very long illness in her cell in Norwich. And she had been praying to the Lord, to Jesus, for a long time. Lord Jesus, I want to understand your sufferings. I want to know your sufferings. I want to know what it was like. And in her bed of sickness, Jesus appeared to her 16 different times and stood in front of her, and he showed her all the glory, the gory detail, the blood, the bones, the hanging flesh, and the way in which his body dried up in the wind, hanging on the cross. And this went on for some time. And then he turned to her and he said, "My dear daughter, was that enough for you?" And she said, "Oh, yes, my Lord, it was more than enough." And he looked at her and said, "Had you been the only person in the world, I would have done it for you. Had you been the only person in the world, he would have done it for you. Why? Because you are special in his heart." God's mercy, his provision, his forgiveness, his patience, his love for us is never ending. It's never, never ending and never will. He never takes his loving, caring, protecting eyes from us. No, never. Even when we're in the deepest sin, he never does that. He's constantly there, looking, watching, protecting, guarding and approving of us. He knows our every thought, our thoughts of joy, our thoughts of confusion, our longing. He knows them all, and he covers them all with his protective love. Why? Because his heart is specially for you. Let me read you St. John's wonderful description of the throne room of God. "There before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the sevenfold Spirit of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come.' And the elders lay their crown before the throne and said, 'You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created. And by your will they have their being.'" Just imagine the throne room of heaven with massive doors of the most beautiful heavenly cedar inlaid with gold. And inside those doors, there is the throne room of God, with a ceiling so high that it disappears into the clouds. The ceiling supported by pillars of pure crystal and onyx, reverberating and flashing, reflecting the glory of God. And round the whole hall was full of thousands upon 10,000s of saints and angels and archangels and martyrs. who were worshipping and praising and magnifying the one who's sitting on the throne, resplendent in holiness, sitting there at the end of this big heavenly hall, raised up with light flashing from his holiness and his purity. And there were thousands upon 10,000s on their knees, worshipping and casting their crowns before him and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And then suddenly the doors burst open and there is a little child. And that little child sees this mighty God. "Daddy!" And he runs up through the pathway that's been now opened for him with all the thousands there. And heaven, the courts of heaven, fall silent as this little child runs up to their father. And God, who has until then been quietly dealing with the affairs of heavenly state as his messengers would come and deferently come up to his throne, and he would speak with them in quiet tones about the affairs of the cosmos, the affairs of heaven. But when that little child came up, his eyes were off them, his attention was off them, they were fixed on this little child who was running up to him. And the little child, without the deference of God's messengers, the little child just runs up these steps and leaps onto his daddy's knee. And his daddy's eyes are fixed on that little child and that little child upon him. And the father says, "Tell me, my dearest child, what have you been doing today? Have you had a good day? Who have you met? What have you discovered today? Tell me how your day has been, and I will tell you how my day has been, and then after that, we'll go for a walk." That little child is you. Have you ever heard, I'm sure you have, that the phrase that somebody says, "Oh, he can do no wrong, she can do no wrong," you know? When one person is speaking about somebody else and the opinion they have of another person, rather like, say, a mother has for her daughter or for her son, you know, "Oh, she can do no wrong in his sight." Do you realize that that's exactly how God sees us? We can do no wrong because of what we have become in Jesus. And St. Paul confirms this in his letter to the Colossians, where he says, "He has presented us holy, without blemish, and free from accusation." That is you and me. Why? Because you are precious in his sight. I love Psalm 139, don't you? Anybody read Psalm 139? If you haven't, go home and read it. It is a great, if you need a bit of encouragement today, you go home and read Psalm 139. I'm going to read you a couple of verses. "How precious concerning me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." Now, I've often said to you that I love words and their construction and their order. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. That is highly significant because, particularly in the Old Testament, God often uses the phrase to give the sense of a multitude. He says, "Your descendants will be more than the sand of the seashore." Ever read that? "Your descendants will be more than the sand of the seashore." But it's always limited. More than the sand of the seashore. But here, this is the only place in the Bible where the amount of sand is not limited. And that's not a mistake. More than the sand are my precious thoughts towards you. This earth is covered one third with desert. More than the sand of the desert, more than just the sand of the seashore, more than even the sand under the whole of the sea. More than the sand. Now, I'll put this thing on again. Say his thoughts towards us, his loving, precious thoughts towards us, were just contained in the grain of sands that fills one cubic inch like that, a bit like a billiard cube. One cubic inch of sand, of average size sand, contains 1,040,000 grains of sand. So say his precious thoughts to us were just one cubic inch worth a day. That is 720 thoughts per minute. 12 thoughts every second. Thought, loving thought towards us. Thought, precious thoughts, loving thoughts, protective thoughts, caring thoughts. In just one cubic inch. But these thoughts of his are unlimited. They are more than the sand. Can you see what a magnanimous, unstoppable God we have in creating the cosmos? Do another one, Lord. Pow! There it goes. But with us too. In the same way that he hasn't stopped expanding his creation of the cosmos at that same speed, so are his precious thoughts towards you. And even me. Why? Because his heart is specially for you. Now here I'm going to finish. So, not only does God love you with an unstoppable love, but he equally has an unstoppable breakthrough for you. An unstoppable removal of obstacles. He has an unstoppable restoration of your circumstances for you. Whether in your health, your finances, your relationships, your ministry, your degree of peace, your confidence in him and in yourself. He has an unstoppable plan for you. And that plan is one of restoration and is a plan of breakthrough. And have you ever noticed that it's normally in negative circumstances that God brings some sort of breakthrough? He doesn't bring about the negative circumstances because he's a positive God, but he uses them. So if you're going through any negative circumstance right now, whatever it is, get ready, because that breakthrough is coming. He brings that which is out of that which is not. So if you're in a negative situation this very morning, remember Paul also says to the Colossians in the same breath, our lives, your lives, are hidden with Christ in God. Rather like those lovely little Russian dolls. There's little us right in the middle, and then there's a bigger one protecting, and a bigger one, and a bigger one, and a bigger one. We're hidden with Christ in God. We're carried in the womb of God. So greatly does he love us, and so closely does he hold us. however little we think that he may, however confused we may be, however unholy we think we are, however sinful we think we are, however faithless, he carries us in his womb. You, right now. Why? Because his heart is specially for you. Esther said so wisely 3 weeks ago that knowledge is not experience. You know, talk is knowledge, but there comes a time when we need to stop talking and experience, don't we? Experience God. That's what he's there for. He's in front of each one of you right now. He's standing in front of us. However distant we feel that he is, he's not. He's standing right there, right that near to your nose, waiting. Our God is waiting to grasp you in his arms as he does with that little child in the throne room. I want to experience him, don't you? Should we do that now? I'll tell you what we'll do. If you would just like to very quietly and quickly just put the chairs to a side. You might just stack up maybe two or three in a pile, no more than that, and we'll just come to the centre. And if you'd like to do that now, if you just want to sit out, that's fine. Just pop up to the a nice comfortable sofa up there and just have a seat. But we'll stack the chairs. And what we will do, if you just like to come, any of you who want to come and meet, experience God in this way, just come and just stand around here, and Joel will lead us just in one wonderful song, and we'll sing it together, and then we'll just, as he quietly plays, we'll just wait on God. We'll just let God come. God, our mighty cataclysmic God is standing in front of each one of you right now. You remember I said before, C.S. Lewis said, he lives in the dimension of eternity. We live in the dimension of time. And there is only one point at which the two dimensions meet, and it is now. It's not a minute ago, it's past. It's not a minute hence, it hasn't yet come. It's now. So let's be prepared to meet with our God now. And then Guy and Fran and I will just go around and we'll just bless anything that we see God doing. Okay? Up for that? Let's do that.